Good morning. If you would, go ahead and turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We began a brand new series last Sunday titled Be, and last week we talked about being authentic. And today we're going to talk about being persistent. Why is it that some people make it in life, but other people do not? You have two athletes of equal athletic ability. Both are on scholarship. One excels, one does not. Why is that the case? You have two entrepreneurs. One opens a business and makes millions of dollars. The other opens a business and not soon after it goes out of business. Why is that the case? Two couples marry. One couple is married for life and they love each other and have a wonderful marriage. Another couple marries and their marriage only lasts for a few years and then they divorce. Why is that? Is it merely luck? Why is it? Well, I believe that one of the most important factors that allow us to be successful in life is persistence. Now, there are other factors, right? But I think one of the most important factors is certainly persistence. Some people would say, well, it's high IQ. But we know that's not true. You take Ted Kaczynski, for example. He was the Unabomber, right? Here was a guy who had an IQ of 167. If you've never looked at the IQ scale, that's incredibly high. We're talking about genius. He was a mathematical genius, an incredible man, taught at Ivy League. Actually, he was a professor at many Ivy League universities. Very, very intelligent man. But he was a failure in life. So just because you're smart, that doesn't mean you're going to make it in life. And there's more to that than being smart. And I believe that persistence is one of the most important things. And Paul talks about persistence in our text today. In this section, he's going to encourage us to overcome many of the adversities that we face in life. And listen, we all face adversities, correct? I mean, who in here has not faced adversity? We all face adversity in life. But we look in our text in chapter 16, just the first few words is the key theme today. He says, therefore, we do not lose heart. And so, it might be today that there's some person in this room that's really struggling, and maybe you've been thinking about just giving up. I would encourage you not to do that. Or maybe you know somebody who's really struggling and they're thinking about giving up, and maybe they come to you for encouragement. Paul offers us four encouragements that I believe will help us so that we can be persistent in life, because that's what we want to be. And so, number one today, get back up when you get knocked down. That's the first thing. Get back up when you get knocked down. Look at verses 8 and 9. Paul says, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed, but we are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. Listen to that attitude and look at what Paul went through. The Apostle Paul had this amazing resiliency about him that every time he got knocked down, he was able to bounce back up again. And he's an example for us. For example, Paul was stoned in Lystra. The very next day, he goes into Derbe and wins a whole multitude of people to Jesus Christ. Paul was thrown in jail at Philippi. He converts the jailer and his household. While Paul was in a courtroom at Caesarea, he turned it into a pulpit and preached the gospel. When Paul was shipwrecked on an island, he led the chief political person there to the Lord. When Paul was thrown in a Roman prison, he emerged from that prison with a good portion of the New Testament. You see, Paul got up every time he got knocked down. There was a college student who had been rejected by three colleges. And when he was rejected by the fourth college, he wrote that college and said, your rejection letter exceeds my number of rejections. So I reject your rejection, and I will be in school the first day of the semester. That's incredible. But that's the type of tenacity and perseverance that we need to have. There are a lot of people in history who rejected the rejection, if you will. Thomas Edison. What if he had given up? But he didn't. Abraham Lincoln. John Grisham and his book, A Time to Kill. You know, he sent that off to over a dozen publishing companies and nobody would publish it. And finally, a publishing company decided to take a risk. And who hasn't heard of John Grisham, right? Whether you like his novels or not, he's an incredible writer. But what if he had quit after the second or third or fourth or fifth or sixth time? Oh, just forget it. It's not in me. I'll never be a writer. He could have very easily have thought that way because he was rejected again and again and again and again and again. But every time he got knocked down, he bounced back up. That's what Paul did. That's what a lot of great people in history did. Michael Jordan was cut from his high school basketball team. We all know how that turned out, right? I mean, next to Oscar Robinson, he's certainly the best basketball player to ever play the game. Oscar played at the University of Cincinnati, just in case you didn't know. So, but Oscar was good. Colonel Sanders was broke when he was 65 years old until he perfected his recipe. And then he got rich. Not incredibly rich, not as rich as those who run Kentucky Fried Chicken today. So it's imperative when God's people get knocked down that they have this attitude of persistence. Keep going. You see, as Christianity becomes less and less popular, and it will, I can assure you, as time is going to go on here, Christianity is going to become less and less and less popular. We already see that in our country, right? It's been happening for a while. So this is nothing new. I'm not a prophet telling you anything you don't already know. But as life gets harder and harder and harder, we're going to need the same resiliency that Paul talks about in this text so that when we get knocked down, we do not quit. Think about the people who have overcome incredible obstacles in life. I think of Johnny Erickson Tata. I don't know how much you know about this young lady. And she was paralyzed in a diving accident when she was 17 years old. She's a quadriplegic, so she can do nothing from the neck down. She has a wonderful, wonderful writing ministry. She has a beautiful singing ministry. And she's an incredible artist. Paints with her teeth. And her paintings are phenomenal. Look up some of her paintings one time. Johnny Erickson Tata. What a great, great lady. To tell you the truth, I don't know that I could do what she did. I think I would have just wanted to throw in the towel. Who wants to be a quadriplegic? Who wants to just have, you know, movement from here up? Nobody wants to live that way. She lives a beautiful life. I can't think of the young man who doesn't have legs and arms, but what an incredible guy. Galen has some videos on that young man. His last name is hard to pronounce anyhow, so we'll leave that one alone. Dave Ramsey, he was broke midway through life, but what does he do now? He goes all over America, you know, lecturing and helping people with their finances. You take Frank Peretti, for example. He was living in a trailer park making $15,000 a year when he wrote the book, This Present Darkness, which is about spiritual warfare. And so after 12 publishing companies said no, Good News Press decided that they would print the book, but they said there's not really much of a market for that type of book. Sold over 3.5 million books. Now, if you're an author and you write a book and you sell 3.5 million books, you are a successful author. That is an incredible number of books to sell, by the way, 3.5 million. Francis Schwartz, in his book, Chicken Soup for the Soul at Work, tells about a guy named Jerry. Jerry was always in a good mood. He was a positive type of guy. And when he was asked one day, how are you doing? He always answered, if I were any better, I'd be twins. And you've probably heard other people say that same thing. Schwartz went on to write one day. He wrote Jerry and he said, Jerry, I don't understand how you can be so positive and so upbeat all of the time. It can't be that easy. And he said, it really is that easy. He says, every morning I wake up, I say, Jerry, you have a choice to make today. You can choose to be positive and be in a good mood, or you can choose to be negative and be in a bad mood. He says, I choose to be positive and be in a good mood. And then he protested and said, well, it just can't be that easy. He said, listen, life is all about the choices that we make. And so several years ago, Jerry owned a restaurant, and some robbers came in. They panicked, and they ended up shooting Jerry, and Jerry was lying on the floor in his restaurant in a pool of blood, dying. As he laid there dying, he said, I have a choice to make. I can die, or I can choose to live, and he chose to live. And when the paramedics came, he said they were really good, and he felt really comfortable with them. He said, but when they wheeled me into the operating room, he says, I was scared because I saw the look in the eyes of the doctors and the nurses who were looking at me, and they were looking at me as if I were a dead man and not a living man. And I said to them, listen, I made a choice to live and not die. I want you to operate on me as though I'm a living man, not a dead man. And so this big, burly nurse bent over and said, are you allergic to anything? And he said, yes. And he got real silent, waiting for the answer. And he said, bullets. And of course, everybody broke out laughing. And so they operated on Jerry. 18-hour surgery, several months in ICU. And because he had good doctors, because he had a positive attitude, Jerry survived. About 6 months after that ordeal, Swartz run into this guy, Jerry, again and said, Jerry, how you doing? He said, if I were any better, I'd be twins. And so here's a guy who was struck down, but not destroyed. And you think about it, it's interesting how we use the word but, right? So it's a beautiful day today, but we're going to pay for it next week, right? Something like that. Or, man, the worship service was awesome, but I didn't like the songs because they were too old or too new, depending on what side you're on that, right? And so you really can't win. But when you look at the biblical writers and how they use the word but, it was always to insert something positive. Pay attention to that the next time you see that. For example, the New Testament writers, we see in the book of Acts, it says the church was persecuted, but those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. James was beheaded, but the word of God increased. Peter was put in prison, but the church was praying for him. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says, we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive in Jesus Christ. And so they always put a positive spin on the word but, whereas we put a negative term. You see, in the world you're going to have tribulation, Jesus said, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You see, we are hard-pressed, but not forsaken. Persecuted, not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Secondly today, the persistent Christian loves the Lord more than life itself. All right? This is important. Look at verse 10. Paul says, always caring about the body, carry about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our body. And I take that to mean that our physical sufferings that we go through reminds us of what Jesus went through. I think that's what Paul is saying here. When we suffer, we're reminded of the one who suffered in our place and who suffered for us. And it gives us an opportunity to have a good witness and a good testimony for Jesus when people see us going through tough times in life and yet we're not struck down. That's important. Verses 13 and 14, or that's 11 through 13. Paul says, for we who live are always delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. You see, the Apostle Paul, he looked at himself as someone who was expendable. He realized that he was just the servant of Jesus, and whatever Jesus' will was, that's what he was here to do. In Acts 19, for example, the Apostle Paul, while in Ephesus, had a really successful ministry, ministered there over 3 years, and he put those manufacturers who were making these idols out of business. And so they got together and they went against the Apostle Paul. But you know, it didn't matter to Paul. He put his life in jeopardy, but it didn't matter, because if he could win one more person to Jesus, it was worth it. That's the way Paul looked at it. And so if he could just convince one more person to become a Christian, one more person to give their life to Jesus, it would be worth whatever the cost might be. That's the attitude that Paul had. So let me ask you, does Jesus Christ matter to you more than life itself? That's really what he asked, didn't he? He said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. So do you love the Lord so much that you would be willing to give your life to advance his cause? You see, most of us are never going to be called upon to die for Jesus. Not in this country, not at this time. That very well could happen in the future. We don't know. Very well might happen. We know that it does happen in many places of the world. And you may not realize this, but there are more people persecuted today than in the first century. And that's true. Look at North Korea. Look what China does to people who believe in God. I mean, just those two countries alone, the number of people that suffer, that are imprisoned, that have been murdered, not only in that country, but many, many countries of the world. So, do you love the Lord more than romantic relationships? Do you love the Lord more than you do the United States of America? Would you give up your job and would you give up America to go and preach the gospel of Jesus if you had the opportunity to do that? Is the Lord really your all-consuming passion in life, or is he just a weekend convenience? You see, Jesus says, whoever can be trusted with little can be trusted with much. And so if we're going to persevere in the Christian life, our allegiance to Christ must supersede everything else in life. You see, how we spend our days is how we spend our life. You realize that, right? How you spend your days is how you spend your life. Number three this morning, believe what you believe, or believe what you say you believe. Believe what you say you believe. In verses 13 through 16, Paul says, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, listen, I believed, and therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus also raised us up with Jesus, will raise us up with Jesus, and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgivings to abound to the glory of God. You see, there are certain facts that the Apostle Paul simply believed. He believed that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. He believed that Jesus Christ died an atoning death. He believed that Jesus Christ was raised up from the dead on the third day. He believed that Jesus Christ would come again and raise him up from the dead one day. Paul said, I'm not ashamed, for I know who I have believed in, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And so Paul believed that his life had an eternal purpose. He really believed that. He believed it with all of his heart that he was called by God to do what he did. And so Christians need to know what they believe and why they believe. And I mean deep down to the very core of your being. Listen, when you get knocked down in life, it's time for you to say, I believe what I believe. This is important because it's easy to persevere when life is good. But when life is unraveling right in front of your face, it's hard to maintain your faith and your trust. You think Job, for example. Here's a man who lost his business, who lost his children. I mean, he lost his health. And then the friends who came to comfort him turn on him. He's lost everything. But in the midst of all of his suffering, in the midst of all of that hardship, in the midst of all of that, I don't know how you would have fared in that situation. But here's what he says in chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, I will still trust him. Do you hear those words? I mean, think about what's going on in this man's life. And so let me ask you, do you believe it that strongly? That if your life were falling apart, that you would say, though he slay me, yet I will still trust. I still believe. You see, you'd better know what you believe and why you believe it. Because when life gets hard, church services like this seem really superficial. You know, this is a good time. This is a celebration time, right? This is not going to get you through. But it's believing what you believe and really saying, really believing it. It's important. I love what Paul says there. I believe and I therefore spoke. So what if he didn't speak? Well, he didn't believe. So do you speak? Do you tell people about Christ? And if not, do you really believe? That's an important question, friends. Number four. I want to do three all over again. We'll go to four. The persistent Christian keeps his eyes on the goal. And I think this is so important. In verse 16, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, which is working in us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. And while we do not look at the things which are seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Next week we'll have a lesson just on verses 16, 17, and 18. Looking forward to that lesson. But as we look at this final point today, it's important that we as believers keep our eyes on the goal. And that's the reason that Paul could keep going and keep doing all the things that he did in spite of all the opposition that he faced. He knew that he had to keep his eyes on the goal, and he did. You see, Paul had many, I mean, when you think about Paul, Paul was able to actually see heaven, right? He was caught up, and he talks about that in this book in the 12th chapter. And he was able to see things, and he wasn't permitted to tell us what he saw. Wouldn't it be cool if he could write and tell us what he saw? Wouldn't you like to know what he saw? Maybe it was similar to what John, you know, reveals. I don't know. But God said you cannot tell people what you saw up here. And it's the reason he received that thorn in the flesh, too, the humbling. Because, hi, I'm Paul. I'm the guy who went to heaven, you know. I mean, there's a whole lot to boast and be proud about, right? But listen, Paul couldn't say what he saw, but he does say in another letter, he says, it is far better to depart and be with Christ. He knows, and he knew that, and he kept his eyes on the goal. And so you need to keep your eyes on the goal, because everything you see now is going to pass away one day, and the only thing that's going to remain are those things that are eternal. You know, in the NBA, if you're fouled, you get to go to the free throw line and you get to shoot a couple of free throw shots. And the opposing fans, what do? They try to do everything they can to keep that basketball player from focusing on the goal. And so they're waving stuff and they're screaming and they're shouting and they're doing everything they can to distract him. And if he's going to make that shot, he has got to keep his eye on the goal because that's what he's aiming at. Well, you see, our goal is to go to heaven. And our goal is to take as many people to heaven as we possibly can. That's our goal. But listen, the adversary is going to do everything he can to distract you in life. He will cause all kinds of hardship and pain in your life, and temptations will come. He will do everything he can to distract you. It is important that you don't allow him to distract you, that you stay focused on the goal, that I am going to be with the Lord, and I'm going to take as many people as I possibly can with me. We need to stay focused on the goal. And so, when you think about, you know, getting old, Paul talks about wasting away and stuff wasting away. The body does that too, doesn't it? And it's interesting, you know, you start getting a little bit older, you start seeing wrinkles you never saw before. You start having pains you never had before. Hair starts growing out your ears and out your nose, and right? And so I'm gonna just say it right now. I'm going to be one of those guys that continually shaves my ears and my nose. I'm not going to allow that to happen. but the memory starts to fade. All that stuff starts to go, right? That's just the way that it is. And so we try to cover it up. We put hair dye, loose-fitting clothes, and, you know, we do everything we can. But it doesn't work. We need to stay focused on what we're about, on the mission that Jesus gave us to do in the world. And by the way, one day you're going to receive a new body. Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, 21, that we're going to receive a body that is like the Son of God, the same body that Jesus has. That's the kind of body you're going to possess one day. And that body is going to be new. And there will be no more aging and no aches and pains, a need for loose-fitting clothes and hair dye and shaving your nose and all that kind of stuff, because it's going to be a new body and it's going to be incredible. We have so much to look forward to, so much to be positive about, but isn't it interesting how one little negative thing can just cause you to lose sight of everything? But you have all this positive stuff. Don't lose sight. That's what Satan wants to do. Don't let him do it. You stay focused on the ultimate goal. Fix your eyes on what is not seen, and one day you will see it. And so this morning, I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, be persistent. Hang in there. Don't give up. Be tenacious in life, because that's what God calls us to be. We have so much to be positive about, so much to be excited about. And if we have any in our assembly today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we're going to sing a song. And during the singing of the song, we want to invite you to come. And we want to share with you the message of Jesus, the message of forgiveness that comes through Him, how you can be right with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you have any need this morning, if you had need of prayer, you want to rededicate your commitment to Jesus, maybe you're struggling in life and you need the prayers and the encouragement of God's people, this is a great time to get that. Take advantage of it. Do that while we stand and sing.